Hi, guys. This is Gary Barkalow with Jeff Andresian. And Jeff is going to lead us in just a catch-up reunion time from our gathering just a few weeks ago in Divide for Base Camp. And that, of course, just for sake of recording, that was September of 2011. So, Jeff, thank you. I think we're all really looking forward to hearing each other's voices again after that very intimate weekend and hearing some stories. So I am handing it over to you now.
Yeah, thanks, Gary. Looking back on the weekend, it was a glorious weekend through and through for me. And so I have a lot of questions for everybody about what did they hear, what did they learn about God, themselves, and what did they learn about the brothers that they were with. And so maybe I should start it out in what happened to me when I went up there. And, of course, I loved this retreat because we only had to take one session. And so it wasn't like you had to be on. And you could really sit there and listen. But just seeing all the guys come up to the cabin and begin to circle up there, I just felt very interested in them. I felt very much alive. And I was able to listen and hear from God very clearly up there. And, you know, I think back in Genesis when God was had Adam laid out and he takes the rib out and he forms Eve. The actual word for that word formed is that he built Eve. And that this is what God is doing. It's a great picture of the church, you know. So when Jesus comes, he says, you know, upon this rock I'll build my church. And that he's building us together, that we're to be fitly framed together. And and when we walk into that and we see that, I would assume that God knows what he's doing if his mission is to build us together. But when we got together like that, it was awesome. I think all the life that we brought together up the mountain sort of pushed out a lot of the indecision, discouragement, and diminishment sometimes we feel in our lives. And it was just easier to hear from the brothers and then for me to hear from God, taking nice long walks. And there's just something about the fact that we're stronger when we're together. And so that particular weekend, I experienced that. And usually one of my least favorite things to do, because I spend so much time with God and I'm doing this nonprofit, is to take these walks with God. You know, we have the hour with God or something like that. But they became my favorite that particular weekend. There was a definite clarity going on up on that mountain, and it was just a pleasure to hear from Father. And so I would like to just throw it around and say, guys, you know, you don't have to take my lead on that, because I'm interested in, hey, what did you see? What did you feel? Was there some sort of big picture you got after you left there? What session did you like? What did you learn about God, yourself, or your calling? So, Gary, nobody's on mute right now. Is that right?
Right. Everyone's on, and I just told them on the chat line, just so you know, if there's any room noise or clearing your throat or some comment you're going to make about Gary Barkalow, we can all hear it. So, but the more important thing is just jump in with your thoughts. We're just pretend we're sitting up at the lodge right now, either on the deck or around on the couches, and just jump in and share.
This is Alex. I'll start.
Go ahead, Alex.
A couple of things that just were just awesome. One of them was sitting around and having conversations. There was a connection that happened that just kind of settled me, and it was really nice. The strength of everyone there, just sharing their lives. Nothing in particular, but just sharing their lives. It was really that was very helpful for me. Another thing was Kevin.
Okay. Alex. Alex, can I ask you something on that?
Yeah, go ahead.
And I've heard that over and over again, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but can you tell me what did you love about other guys just sharing their lives? Was it that you found a commonality? You found inspiration. What was it that you liked about hearing another man's story?
Actually, Jeff, both of those things. There was the commonality of the walk that we're all on. We, you know, the struggles that we all have. the joys that we share, and that was inspiring. Hearing you know other guys, you know what the things that they were getting out of the conversation or the sessions that we had together, and those sessions you know were the starting point of a lot of conversations too. Both of those things that you mentioned were what I would say is what I loved about it.
Yeah. Thanks. Okay, so what were you going to say next before I interrupted you there?
Sure, no problem. The other thing I was going to say is when Kevin was when Kevin had his session that he led us through, it was the thing that he brought up about that we need inspiration. That inspiration is a necessity. It's necessity. It's not optional. That it's not a luxury. That it's something that we need. When Cindy and I were struggling to move to the place we're living now, St. Augustine, we would come down for a couple of weeks each month for about 3 months, stay down here looking for a job, and it's very difficult to find a job in this area unless you're willing to commute a fairly long commute. And I just had this overwhelming sense of, oh my gosh, I don't even deserve to live here. This is just, I love this so much. It's just a luxury. It's not necessary, and I'm trying for something that really I shouldn't be pushing into this. And you know, things finally did work out, and we didn't have to commute. God is so good. I mean, He just worked a couple of miraculous situations for us to have jobs where we didn't have to commute an hour up to Jacksonville, and that thought was still just kind of lingering. Who am I to deserve to live in this place that I love so much? And when Kevin said that, it was just something was set free in my heart, and it was a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I walked outside and called my wife and told her about that, and she was so grateful that I called her and told her, because you know we both struggle with that.
I don't know what it is, but somewhere along the line, I have picked up in my Christian training this that as soon as you become a Christian, you get on this austerity program, and that God always wants you to take the last seat in the house, and you know you get the last slice of pie. You always, you choose less because, hey, I don't know. There's just something that gets worked out where, I don't really deserve this anymore, if I live that way, that I can't take and enjoy something like that, or that God wouldn't want me to live there, what is that saying about my relationship with God? And I'm not schooling you. I go through the same thing myself, and I'm realizing that, hey, if He has all the storehouse and all the treasures, why do I want to live my life in such a way that, I think I don't deserve any of this stuff, this beauty that He has around.
Yep. That's exactly what He's teaching me. I mean, about trusting Him, trusting in His goodness.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question. If we need inspiration in our lives, how do you get inspiration out in your life? What does your day look like? How do you get in the way of inspiration?
Well, I live by bicycle about 30 seconds away from the ocean, and I get on my bike after I spend time with the Lord in the morning. I get on my bike and ride to the beach. First thing I do is sit there and look at the ocean for 10 minutes or so, and then I do it again at noon, and then I do it again at night, because the ocean inspires me. I love looking at the ocean. It's so much bigger than me. It's so much more powerful than me, and it's so inviting to me. And the moods of the ocean.
There's something expansive about it, right? The expansiveness of it. Yeah, it captures me. Yeah.
And the power of it. Sometimes it's very subtle and quiet and smooth, and sometimes it's huge and roaring and powerful.
I came home and I just watched The Endless Summer. Do you remember that movie?
I've seen it recently, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And just the power of some of those waves, it was incredible. But honestly, on the way of inspiration, looking at your life, Alex, what's happened to you in the recent years is an inspiration to us. From where you were and where you are today, it's really something. And I can honestly say I don't love you any more now than I did the first time I met you. You know, I love you just as much when you were in it with your and going through a real trial on your journey. But yet the wholeness and what's kind of going on and how you added into the meetings, you are an inspiration.
I'll tell you one other thing that inspires me. God is teaching me to trust him. That's what his, I mean, my journal is just full of God saying, trust me, this is going to work. Trust me where I'm taking you. And the way he is teaching me to trust him right now is he gave me this the other day, or I guess a couple of months ago. There's something that you want to do. There's something you're pursuing, and I want you to pursue that. It's on your heart. You want it. You love it, and I want you to pursue that, and that's how I'm going to teach you to trust me, not by doing hard things to you. And now I'm taking this away. Now trust me that it's going to be okay. No, he says, I want to give you this. I want you to pursue it, and you're going to learn to trust me in that. That's the goodness of his heart, and that inspires me deeply.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Okay, well, write me an e-letter about that, and I'll put it on my blog site, okay? I mean, that is incredible, you know? It's always true. We always think we have to trust God when things are getting taken away, as opposed to trusting him to actually move into something, you know?
Yeah.
To take a journey on the frontier into the unknown to try to capture something that you love, right? That's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome.
Wow.
All right, I'll talk to you now.
Okay. Okay, so we are batting 1,000 now with our guests, and who's on the on-deck circle here for what did they see and hear on this particular weekend?
Well, this is John. I'll follow up because mine just tags along with what Alex said. I was really struck by Jack's story of going out at night and hearing, was it the elk? He was hearing,
yeah, bugling, yep,
yeah, and just how God just said, I gave that to you as a gift, and it's just for you, and the whole weekend, you know, so many of us commented how the whole weekend was just a gift for all of us, and at one point during the weekend, God just seemed to say, I've given you a gift of the desires of your heart. Now, would I give you those desires if I didn't personally delight in fulfilling those desires? And it just struck me how much he really does delight in granting us the desires of our heart. And that's been called into question over the last 5 or 6 months because I just haven't seen a lot of opportunity to really engage those desires. Probably 4 or 5 times since March, I've had opportunity to really come alongside somebody and really engage another man. I come home, and on the way home, I'm flying over Arkansas, and there's this massive storm system, and I got to see at night from 35,000 feet what a storm system looks like. And, Jeff, you've probably seen it 1,000 times, but I had never seen anything like that, and it was just blowing my mind how awesome it was. And the Lord just said, see, I know you love weather, and this is a gift. Mm-hmm. And then I get home, and the first day in the office, I mean, I was enjoying just being in the office working, which is rare. And in the last week, I've had 4 different men come to me and ask me to come alongside them in some fashion. And just to get engaged at the level of heart. So anyway, God just says, see, I really do want to fulfill this in you.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting is those men probably came along at the right time. You know, your heart was open and you were well supplied and had something to share with those guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I know a lot of us are on similar journeys, and, you know, it was no longer acceptable for us to kind of go to church and be a tourist or that sort of thing. And so a lot of us are sort of rangers out on that frontier now. And, you know, there's something in me that I would like to be a free range ranger. You know, I just want to go and do my own thing. And I realize that that doesn't work. Even though I'm on this journey with God and I'm exploring new territory, I'm living more as an explorer, I need the church, the brothers and the sisters more than ever before, you know. And just seeing that weekend and what that can do for you, you know, that fortification that was on at that lodge was really beautiful. And you know, so I'm just reminded of that. I need you guys more than ever, actually, right now. I don't feel like I'm growing away from and needing people. I'm actually more so in need of it. So anyway, one of the things I loved about the weekend was I actually got to hear Michael Thompson talk, and I didn't have to pay for it. Didn't have to pay for it. I mean, nothing.
And he was restricted to 30 minutes of talking. I mean, I'm doing everything I can. We're trying to egg you on, Michael, so talk.
Well, I'm going to write. I just about finished this little sentence.
Okay, we'll wait for you. Yeah.
Take your time.
I shouldn't say all that out loud, so I'll just put that sentence up there first, and then we'll go from there. But anyway, you guys are funny.
Okay, here goes the roast.
Yeah.
So it's just because you know how
I'm not sure if that's your invitation for me in to share in a little bit, or if we're gonna go, but we're just gonna go here.
Yeah, we would love to hear you share a little bit, Michael, please.
Oh, man. Well, it was really, you know, there was a lot of, not a lot of baggage, not a lot of heaviness, but, you know, there were some things in my pockets, you know, I mean, saddlebag, really, going out west and being there with you all. I told Robin, I said it was like I got this wonderful break and rest, even though I really didn't was at the end of a long journey or end of a long season and needed a break or rest. I just got one, and I loved that part about it. But I, you know, I went out and, you know, finances and provisions here are on the home front were just so lean. You know, when I left, it wasn't a big, you know, something that maybe I could afford financially, and just been working a lot on the finances, support raising, ministry stuff. If you guys are a part of a 501c3, you know, some of the giving, donations, support raising stuff. So, but what was wild was I got home and within about 5 days, about $20,000 came in.
Oh, hallelujah.
But I went out with probably Gary more of a settled heart than I ever would in the circumstances I was in. That wasn't a distraction, that we were kind of hand to mouth, you know, money in, money out in the account. And so, you know, I'm amazed at the God of storm clouds, at the God, as Alex said, of the beach. You know,
yeah.
For me, I love the mountains, that cabin lodge there in Divide. So I just was really in a good place and was very deepened. You know, when you talk, Gary, about awaken, deepen, fulfill, I think that was not a season, but a time of some deepening. I love this message. I love the way you wield it. I loved watching you give the feet to men that you entrust to sharing, just a lot of things that were very personal, and then a lot of things that were things that I could really tangibly observe and experience. I got lots of notes, but you know, I came home with a full heart and very excited to kind of put my hands back on the plow that I left in the South Field here in Durham, North Carolina, because you know I needed to start plowing again. But it was good. It was good, and very, very thankful that I went. You know, I tell guys all the time, so much of life is just showing up, just saying yes.
Yeah.
And seeing what happens when you get there. And I knew about half the guys, and I feel like I some of the best times were with the other guys I didn't know. You know, getting to know them, Alex Thompson and John.
Yeah.
And you know, there was one, I don't know, so it was Jack, last thing I'll say for me, it was just a wonderful moment. Jack, John,
Lennedy.
Yeah, Lennedy, myself, and Alex were at the airport. Our Southwest flights were all kind of taken off within 45 minutes or so of each other, and we hit the pub. I felt like, not that we looked like, okay, but I felt like the four hobbits at the Shire when they're back, you know, back in the Shire with their pints, you know, everywhere with nachos and a beer. Jack was, you could tell he was spent. We all just kind of nodded at each other, and there were some conversation, but you know, we'd left a piece of us on the mountain, and that's okay. And that was good. So,
you know, one of the things I was really encouraged was to hear about how you had written a report when you were young on two guys, you know, Abraham Lincoln and Walt Disney. And
right.
Looking at your life, that does not surprise me at all. And that was really inspiring to me because I'm like pointing my finger and I'm going, you too. You too. You see, God has had his hand in our life all along, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If we could take some time to reconstruct some of this stuff,
right.
I think it would pay huge benefits.
Yeah, and invite him to help us remember. I'm kind of going back through some of the stages, walking some guys through the masculine journey stages. You know, Gary's got the columned record that it can be really helpful to helping some guys organize their story, and it's just hearing them go back, more and more grateful at what, and I just, you know, I know for no reason other than God, that was the track he gave me or put me on, but just those earlier stages of being a beloved son and having beloved son experiences up through those first, you know, 12, 14 years, how that alone, you know, kept me from falling great distances or, you know, wandering off all too far. And just a lot of guys, I'm reminded on an ongoing basis, and John was sharing about the four guys that he got to visit with just last week or so, but I'm constantly reminded of how that foundation is so not laid in so many guys' lives. And there's just, that's probably the greatest part to partner with God in a work in another man's life is to walk with him and help him recover or discover that he really is one of God's favorites. And
Amen.
Like Mac heard again and again, Papa say, you know, I am particularly fond of that boy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's good. So are you going to be a facilitator next weekend?
I don't know. I think I am going to be a cheerleader.
Okay.
Actually, this coming weekend, Jeff, is a calling retreat, not a calling intensive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I'm there and looking forward to hearing Gary. I'm excited about the guys. These are Eastern Allies down in Charlotte for us, the barn. Big stretch for Kevin. Kevin's been pummeled, and Kevin's been, you've done some events. This is kind of Kasner's first event. So there's a lot wound up and bound up in this, and I'm not sure this weekend's the time to unpack it, but I think Kevin will there's a lot God has for Kevin in this, and looking forward to, being there. I've got, I think, 9 guys, all kind of freshmen, too. It's really going to be interesting. So
We're really encouraged. The fact that you had the time up on the mountain, that was good for your heart, and then you went home, and then within 5 days, a lot of the money comes in like that. That's really awesome. You know, those are my heroes, the guys that give to what you're doing, you know, because it's not the standard way to give. And so I think the guys that wind up giving like that wind up having to really hear from God. But the fact that they can give to an organization like what you are, Michael, that you're a small organization, but that can have a huge effect in the war, you know, in the battle for men's lives. So I kudos to all those guys that gave. That is so awesome. And I wanted to say one other thing about what you mentioned, Michael, about Gary sharing the seat with some guys that hasn't been entrusted. And I guess I would say this to you too, Gary, is that gets carried on. I see that, and I want to do that too. So this weekend coming up, we're going down the Gauley River, and we've got the 2 search and rescue pilots from the Marines, and they're taking a session each, you know, and they're all nervous and like, I've never done this, you know, that sort of thing. They know they're ready to do it, but they're kind of nervous, and it's so much fun to talk them through it and give them the opportunity, because I see it in them, you know, and that we could pass this on, that inclusiveness to the other brothers like that is awesome.
Yeah, it was great. Hey, 2 things, just so you know, we got about 15 minutes left, 15. Cool. And Michael, I will be calling on you to do some sharing, some responding this weekend. So, but I'll tell you when you get there.
Of course, that's how we roll, buddy. That's
exactly.
How we roll.
Exactly.
Hey, who else would like to share about the weekend? Okay, because is Alex Thompson on here? I see him on there. Bill Hayes.
Yeah, he is here.
Alex, man, you've been prolific on your writing. I actually went over and read it all today. And,
well, it's all your guys' fault.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
And, well, if anybody's taking blame for that, I'll take blame for that, you know. If I get blamed for plenty of things.
For me, on the weekend, when you asked that question at the head of everything here, what really came to mind so clearly was free to be me.
Yeah, I love that.
And so comfortable in my own skin, and just thankful the Lord made me who I am. That He's taken me through what He's taken me through. That He's my trainer. And, just every one of you guys gave me at least one nugget, if not more. And I'm nowhere near to unpacking all of those. But it has been just such an incredible blessing and privilege to process and talk with the Father about, you know, what did He mean? And, you know, right now, all I'm doing is working through the blessings and the prayers that you guys prayed over me on Sunday. And that has been so stinking rich. So amazing, the things that He has uncovered in me, the things He has confirmed, the way He has the way He has convinced me that I am His beloved son. Because I didn't grow up feeling like a beloved son at all, and it wasn't. It's through these last several years that it's become very, very real. And thus the confidence and the authority and the courage is released.
Yeah. You know, I especially, the one part I caught in your writings was that the part where you were confessing about being in the past an affirmation junkie, you know, and what does it look like to just be comfortable in your own skin as opposed to needing that, you know? And so it's really refreshing, honestly, to hear that, you know, at where you're at in your life, you know, those are things that you're still working out, you know, because I can totally relate to some of that, you know, whereas I love affirmation, and that's a good thing in the body of Christ, you know, to build one another up and that sort of thing. You know, they're sort of crossing that line and being on the affirmation junkie side of things. Mm-hmm. That there's a deep need for when you're in that position, you know, that really nobody's going to fulfill. But can you give it? You know, what was it, the atmosphere that created that for you, that you could just be yourself, or this is a work that God has been doing in your life in these last?
It's a work that God's been doing in my life for the last couple of years, as
yeah.
He has revealed more and more of His design and intention for me, His desire for me, His just a number of things He's taken me through. But
yeah.
It's, you know, and, you know, I still love the affirmation.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Now I'm not addicted to it.
Mm-mm.
Because I know I am a beloved son.
Mm.
I know without a shadow of a doubt. Even when the enemy steps in and makes it tough, I just say, okay, Father, this is Father filtered. What do you want to do through this? What do you want to do in me? How do you want to build me, equip me, train me?
Yeah.
And release the warrior that's in me.
Yeah. I think when we're in that place of needing affirmation and on the junkie side, I think we're missing really kind of what's going on around us, really. You know, we're kind of after the wrong thing. Instead of having the eyes of our heart open to see what's really going on around us, you know, we're drinking from the wrong straw on that. When we say affirmation's good, but on the junkie side of it, you know, and just being settled into who you are, that transmits, and that transmitted to us. I mean, the kayaking adventure was definitely a highlight for me, you know.
That's great.
I'm not sure if it was the wooden boats that you made or the tour that you gave, you know, but I'd have to agree with your assessment of how God looks at you as a beloved son. It's very easy for us to see that, you know. And so you deposited in all of us also a nugget, you know. It went both
Good.
Ways for sure, bro. Yeah.
Great. Great. What more can a guy want?
Yeah, definitely. More of it, I think. That's all. I would like to do these once a month, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I'm just going to need a couple of months to still process this stuff.
It is. Hey, Jerry Goddard, how you doing out there? Are you with us, bro?
I'm good.
Good. Are you an Arizona fan, the Diamondbacks fan?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well,
are you going to hammer me about that? I'll hammer you about the Yankees.
Hey, man, we're down 2-1 in the series. I think we're going to drop out of this thing tonight, you know, the Yanks. So
yeah.
We're in the same boat. But, yeah, I thought they'd be doing better by now.
Yeah.
So, Jerry, what was it like for you to go home? What were the takeaways for you for the weekend?
You know, I am really reluctant to say this, but, you know, the real takeaway for me was being with all you guys. And I mean by that, you know, I'm with a lot of guys in a lot of different circumstances and things. And there is something really unique about this group and this gathering that frankly I don't find everywhere else. I don't mean that to be a negative, it sort of sounds that way, but so that, you know, and the primary characteristic of that, I think, for me is that I have really come to deeply trust all you guys, and that's a really big deal. So I could talk more about that. The other thing was, you know, like Alex, I was really impacted by, you know, the prayer time at the end. And you know, all of it generally, but then, and nobody knows this except God, I think, but how deeply impacted I am with the whole military thing. And I think I told you that when I just graduated from high school, I filled out all the paperwork, was going to join the Marine Corps, and my dad talked me out of it. Long story there, but forever I have regretted that and wanted to do that. I still, you know, feel a connection to that whole thing. It goes very deep. And then during that prayer time, Gary said that I had already been awarded the Medal of Honor. Mm-hmm. And then he said some things about that. Oh, my. You know, God could have, is the only one that could have done that. I have searched the internet and read the stories and keep up with the current awardees and all those things. And that just, that's deeply impacting to me. And for me, you know, I don't think anybody else knew to say that. I don't think Gary knew to say that, but that was from the heart of God to me. And so where do you go to get that? You know, I mean, where can you go to find the kind of relationship where that is the result, you know? And
yeah.
And so some of the things that you've asked me a couple of times about Eugene Peterson's, have you read The Pastor yet? And so I haven't. You know, and I downloaded it this weekend and started in it. And he describes, there are, and I'm just halfway through the book now, but in a bunch of different contexts, he describes what church is, what it was meant to be, what it had come to mean to him. And I think that is probably my primary takeaway. I have told a number of guys that, you know, that knew I was, that I do these things with you guys, and I tell them that's my church, you know, when, as often as you meet, you know, and so that's my church. That's the takeaway for me.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Hey, Jeff, can I follow that? This is Tom.
Yeah, go, Tom.
You know, I was considering some of the same things when you asked your question, you know, that, or just said, and that is, you know, it was such a safeness to me to hang out with guys who I trust and respect. And, you know, when you're with people that aren't, their hearts aren't toward God, there's just kind of a, you know, I easily do that and, you know, and just love people. But there's a difference when you're giving, you're opening yourself up and you're with people you respect, you feel safer. And also when there is, how'd you say it, you know, appreciation, you know, strokes or whatever, your good points. I love that you can trust them. They're probably God's feeling, you know, not just something that someone's passing on to pump you up, you know. So, I mean, that's one of the giant things that I took away. I'm the same as Jerry. Like, that's church. And like you said, Jeff, church is crucial and vital to God's heart. But church is not a building, nor is it a formal thing. It may be there in one of those things, but the essence is people connected in spirit and for one another and gathered in Him. I love that. And I guess related, I just got expanded a little bit more, and I'm being mostly serious, 90%. But our talk on the back porch about sex and stuff, it's like God is so unreligious, and we all have the Lord living in us, and we were there talking and laughing, and I think He was kind of laughing with us. So anyway, that's what I have.
Yeah. No, and that's good. You know, it just where His body is, the head is with the body. You know, and it all comes together. I think part of the gathering was a lot of guys living intentional. You know, and really making an effort to get out there. What I love is the idea of kind of everybody knowing that they're needed. You know, on a particular mission. And you know, one of the things that I know it's getting a little late here, but I wanted to say, it's fun to have those kinds of weekends. I mean, I absolutely need them. It goes beyond fun. You know, this was critical for my heart. It was really good to get reoriented on my journey up there. But it's also something to think about. You know, working together. You know, being on a team on particular mission together. Where we know the guy that we're working with, you know. And, you know, there's something to think about with this retreat coming up in December. You know, there's going to be in Colorado, there'll be a need for some facilitators and things like that. And, I think the way we're going to run this and the way it looks right now is that I'm not sure that we can cover anybody's cost to be up there completely. But we definitely could use you for the mission in the sense of facilitators and things like that. We'll be needing some guys, and so just the idea of kind of taking that weekend and think about what would it look like to work together, and like what Michael was saying, the privilege of helping another guy find his own story. That's the thing that I love, you know, is the idea of actually, you know, being on mission together, you know, that God would take this and move this.
Just a quick comment on that. There's the whole, the whole thing of, if any of you guys have read the book War about the war in Afghanistan and the outpost at Restrepo, one of the things that the author deals with there is why the reenlistment rates are so high among these guys. With the hell they've gone through, they want to go back to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they are in relationship with their buddies there. They know that they are critical to the mission. They have a hard time coming home on leave for their R&R because they're concerned about what's going to happen with their buddies if they're not there on patrol with them. Because he's protecting his buddies' backs, and they're protecting his back. And there's no other relationship in life like that.
Right.
But I feel like this weekend was a taste of that.
Yeah.
In the relationships that the Lord established for the 14 of us in, you know, a long weekend. That is just astounding.
Yeah. It's getting late. I'm not sure if I can actually articulate this, but I'm right now I'm totally into these National Geographic books on adventure, top 100 books. I'm just reading through them. I'm having a blast with it. But this lady is talking about a lion that lived near a village and became domesticated, and one of the guys comes along and goes, I would never trust a domesticated lion. And he goes, and she says, well, why not? And she says, the guy says, a domesticated lion is unnatural. And if it's unnatural, you should never trust an unnatural animal. And there was something in me when I read that story that I thought about what God is doing with us in our life. in the sense of the training that he's given us, the calling us out of that sort of domestication to be on this journey with him, to take risks, to offer who we are to the world. And it takes an amazing amount of courage, really, you know. And a lot of times we don't get an affirmation because so many of us aren't doing it because we've been authorized from the pulpit, say, you know. And so it takes an amazing amount of courage. And when you get around guys like that, that have been out there and are doing this thing without that sort of affirmation, but are doing it anyway because of their love for God and offering themselves, I think those are the kinds of guys that you can wind up beginning to trust. You sense that with the guys. They know how to work through problems. They're not going to crumble at the first sign of discouragement, you know, that sort of thing. And I'm not sure if am I making any sense here when I'm saying to you guys.
Yes, that's just a remarkable statement. An animal that is domesticated that's not itself. It's very unpredictable and dangerous.
Yes.
That's an amazing.
Yes.
That's an amazing thing. Hey, by the way, Jeff, I just want you to know that Stephen joined us on the phone. So.
Oh, okay.
When you're ready, he wanted to jump in.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Good. Hey, Stephen, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good.
Thank you for the pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you're welcome.
They were gorgeous.
How did your son do in the football?
Unfortunately, I didn't get to witness another 70-yard touchdown run like the one we missed while we were in Colorado. But they finished the season, so I got to see him at least, you know, catch one pass and run for a while, but no touchdown. So, I did watch Rudy with him Saturday night, so that was kind of fun. So I hadn't actually seen that movie, so it was a great movie to watch with your eighth grade football crazy son. So
yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
And so you might have the most to talk about because the adventure was just beginning when we all left for you, right? Going out with your wife after spending that weekend with us and then going out into the wilderness like that. What was that like?
Oh, it was, it was great. It was a great setup because, you know, I mean, I took a lot of notes and journaled, you know, the whole weekend. And every time I do something like, you know, boot camp or base camp or the calling retreat, you know, Denise and I always set aside time to, you know, kind of go through it. And so to be able to, you know, not dump it on her all at once, but just kind of, you know, every day I would, you know, go through a couple pages of my notes with her while we were out, you know, or just as kind of as I thought of things. So, you know, it was perfect, you know, and then she was also set up too, because she went right from our time to into the advanced captivating. So,
so she was,
her heart was, you know, pretty well prepared. But the trip, you know, it's, the call is more about the base camp weekend, but just briefly, the trip was amazing. And as I re-listened to the prayers, you know, that, you know, were prayed, and, you know, specifically, you know, Gary was specifically saying about the beauty and, you know, it was just, and I played the prayers for my wife too, and I re-listened to them a couple times today, and it was just, you know, God was very faithful in every way. It was just an amazing trip. Seeing the aspens, and, you know, just like when I read that section from Desire on beauty and talking about my son on the top of Whitney and just being overwhelmed with the beauty. So we definitely were. And it was, you know, it was a neat time together too. So it was just,
You know, and it's all us on here. I don't think anybody's not online that wasn't at the retreat. But that statement that you made about feeling stuck, it really didn't go along with what you were doing. You know, the fact that you came out to Colorado, you know, you come and meet with us, then you go on this backpacking adventure to Mount Harvard with your wife, and then you send her to a captivating retreat. You guys are in motion, you know. You know, it might be stuck in the sense of what you're thinking about with career, but it certainly you don't seem stuck with how you're pursuing God and maybe how he's pursuing you.
Yeah, I think I can't remember if it was, you know, in one of the prayers it was John. I can't remember if it was John I think it was John that said that, you know, any man that's walking with God is not stuck. And something like that. And it just really hit me that, you know, that's true. And I think something kind of came to me while we were, you know, on our trip too, is, you know, the weekend started with the clip on the illusions, you know, and the question was what illusions are we carrying? And, you know, nothing really came to me, you know, that weekend. But, you know, I kept going back to that and kind of asking that question. And then coming back from the weekend, and, of course, you get hit with, you know, just the realities of, you know, the tuition bills due. And, you know, so you still feel kind of stuck in terms of financially, you know, you've taken this risk of doing this adventure. And, you know, I told my wife, I said, you know what I hate most about this time is that you don't have the comfort of the illusion. You know, the illusion when you have a job and you have an income is that, you know, next month you're going to have the money to pay for this and you're going to be able to go on a vacation, and you kind of plan your life in 6 and 12 months increments based on the illusion, right, that, you know, everything's fine. But the reality is that, you know, I'm no closer to financial security in the position that I am now than I was when I was, you know, making seven figures. Yeah. Does that make sense? I mean, it just so.
Wow,
but
that's really good,
Steve. That's what's the most uncomfortable about this time. And when I get discouraged and I feel stuck, it's because, you know, I don't have that security, quote unquote, but the reality is that security is an illusion.
Right. The illusion of control.
Like
you say, what do you control? The temperature of your air conditioner, you know, the volume on your stereo, that's maybe it.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, you know, and I was so close to it that I, you know, I didn't even see it, you know, watching it replay on the movie. But.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things, this is maybe a conversation for another time, and I'm not really speaking at you. I'm just thinking about my own life as you're saying yours. And, you know, I went from the captain salary to where I am now, you know, on a nonprofit salary. And one of the things that I'm really actually beginning to enjoy is learning how to live on a lot less. There are plenty of things I can get rid of that are just weight, actually. You know, and so the journey is a little bit of learning how to travel more lightly. And there's, you know, when you get rid of it and start shedding some things, you're breathing a little bit easier, you know. And again, I'm not talking at you. I'm just talking about what happened to me on that particular side of the journey. And it's amazing how I'm realizing how much less I could live on than what I was living on, you know.
Right.
Yeah, and actually much more fulfilled at this point, you know. I mean, really, honestly, for some reason, the wine tastes better, you know, the friendships are deeper, the adventures are more spectacular, I see and take in more beauty. Nothing's really changed for the worse with less income. And I'm not saying I always want to stay there. I mean, I would love to turn that around, but I have learned a lot through that journey of letting go of some things. That's been fun.
Well, I mean, that's been the biggest thing about, you know, the trip with my son, and then my wife was able to experience this. I told her about it, but she was able to experience it firsthand. It's like, you know, when I went on the trip with my son, you know, I kind of joked that, you know, I was going to receive clarity once I got to the top of, you know, Whitney with him. And I didn't, you know, I really didn't get any clarity. I didn't get, you know, the master plan, you know, for the next 6 years. But what I did get was that I was living in the present more than I ever have in my life, to the point that I would feel guilty, like, you know, I should be thinking about Denise and the kids and praying, you know, praying for them. But you were just so in the present. You know, it was about, you know, looking at the beauty around you. It was about thinking about what you were going to eat for dinner, you know, and everything tastes so much better, you know. And she was, like, making the same observations, you know. And she was like, you know, you're just so consumed with, you know, just the moment. And that it's really, you know, it's hard to come home because I'm so used to, you know, you've heard that, living in the, you know, the worries of the future and the regrets of the past, and never in the now.
Yeah. The tyranny of the imagined future, you know, is
right.
Where I would always spend quite a bit of time. And, of course, losing the moment in that. Yeah,
so.
You're on a remarkable journey, Stephen. Honestly, I'm sitting here thinking, man, we could do a podcast with you right now, on just alone on some of the things that you're experiencing.
I mean, the one other thing I would like to share just from the weekend that was another big takeaway is when we were talking about Zorro and the circle. Was it called the Circle of Training? I haven't actually seen the movie. I've seen bits and pieces of it, but I don't think I've actually seen the whole thing. But what do you call that? Circle of Training?
It's the Training Circle.
Training Circle.
Yep.
Yeah. And so that was something that really kind of dug into me, you know, from the weekend on through my trip, and just talking about how uncomfortable it is, and you know, I've told my wife how some of the things that I thought I would pursue in terms of the business plan, aside from my family adventures, I felt like I was making absolutely no progress on, and it wasn't like it was a Satan distraction kind of thing. I told her, you know, more than once, I said, it really feels like, you know, it really feels like God is just not allowing me to get anything else done, you know? So if I do have any extra time, you know, that's when all the technology stuff blows up, or I, you know, it's like all these other things, they are distractions, but it didn't feel like it was Satan distracting me. It felt like, you know, it was God kind of saying, no, you know, you're not going to do that now. And so that's really been hard for me to work through, because, you know, you wonder, you know, is this a distraction? Is this, you know, Satan trying to keep me from what I'm ultimately supposed to do? Or is it God saying, you know, no, just stay in the circle, you know, focus, you have this time. You know, this time is about you and your family, and it's about, you know, growing closer to me. It's about spending time with these men. It's not about pursuing your business plan yet.
Yeah.
And it's...
Yeah. That's fascinating to me. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when someone said, you know, how uncomfortable it is, because that's really what it is. It's just, you know, you enjoy it. You know, the time with the family is wonderful. The time that I have with God, the time that I spend with you guys, it's amazing. But then you keep coming back to the reality and saying, you know, oh, I need to, you know, that clock is ticking. And so
I honestly, you know, we talked about an affirmation junkie. I think another thing, we're productivity junkies. And we've been trained that, you know, we have become a very extremely productivity-minded nation. Everything comes down to that, and it's really gotten ingrained in us. And when we don't see that on a monetary level or a functional level in our lives, it freaks us out. You know, the eyes of our heart aren't open to how God is developing us spiritually sometimes, you know, and some of the opportunities that he gives us on those downtimes from productivity. They don't seem to count as much, you know, because they're not as tangible, you know. So, you know, that's something that dies hard, is that, you know, we want to be productive and have it to show. And maybe part of your training circle is losing some of that, you know, for a season, you know, because something God wants to show you something else. And you're never going to see that if you're locked into productivity, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I read somewhere that achievement is the narcotic of our age, you know. So.
Yeah. Yes, Gary.
I was going to say, we are at the end of a very rich hour together, over an hour. And so we should just end up doing another call, or as you suggested, some other campfire conversation. So let me just throw out a thought here as we end this call. You know, for me, it was really important and really needed and really good for me to be with such noble-hearted men. I mean, that was just an amazing time for me. And every man's words, I was just struck as I'm hearing all this and reflecting on the weekend. Every man's words, whether spoken directly to me or spoken directly to another man or my overhearing it over a dinner conversation or out on the deck or, you know, even in the living room from being up on top and just overhearing things, all those conversations had a big impact on me. It felt like family. It felt affirming. There was just something, you know, for me about having an extended time in the company of men and really good men, that was just amazing for me. So one, I want to say honestly to all the men that came, which is everyone on the phone, thank you for coming, because if you hadn't, I know it wouldn't have been the same for me. I mean, there was a setting that was created there by every man that was there. And then the other thing that is that God really went deep with me on some things that I don't think could have happened as easily if it wasn't for the presence of every man. And that setting and the extended time. In fact, I'm going to try to blog a little bit about it tomorrow. I've been working on just the continuing things that God showed me there and what he's still saying. So, and going back to Kevin's statement that hit so many people, that the need for inspiration. As Alex said, referred to it on the deck when we were sitting down there Saturday night, this was another huge time of inspiration for me. And it wasn't, you know, obviously it was that setting that we were in, the cabin, the mountains, the view, the vistas, but the lives of every man there, the conversation. So that was a huge thing of inspiration for me. So I want to let you know, guys, that we are looking at possibly, these are just ideas, possibly doing another base camp gathering maybe at the end of May, maybe in June. I know, Jeff, you're working on this.
Yeah.
At the lake house in North Carolina when the temperature is perfect for being on the lake and water skiing. And we may also offer something in the meantime, maybe something at Sam's house. He has this huge house where we could sleep quite a few guys. And so anyway, we'll let you know because we don't want this to be too far and in between for any of us.
Yeah.
Jeff, thank you. You've done such an excellent job, Jeff. Thank you for this evening. It's been great.
Oh, well, the only guy we missed was Bill Hayes, right? So I say we do 1 hour with just Bill Hayes, you know. And,
what he said on the chat box is he said, I didn't hear you, Gary. My wife is sick, so I'm listening while fixing dinner. So you are a noble man, Bill. We are applauding you, and we will catch up with you another time.
Hey. Good to
and
be with
you. A full
you
hour with you on the phone would be so worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. So
final thoughts, Jeff, wrapping it up, and then I'll end the recording.
Yeah. Well, no, it's just good to be together. I loved it. I got just as much out of it. Yeah, I feel like I'm back up on the mountain with you guys, you know. I look forward to see what God is going to do with us all together, you know. I don't think it ends with just retreats. And, you know, I think there's a mission there for us. So.
Yeah. So as you guys remember, if you could be praying for Jeff this weekend for his retreat, going down the Gali River and speaking, and then I have a retreat this weekend near Charlotte. Would love for you guys to pray for us as well. So
yeah,
we need your cover.
Yeah.
So
definitely.
Everyone, thank you. Go ahead. Thank
we'll
you.
Do.
All right, you guys.
Thanks,
it's been
guys.
Great. We'll do some more.
See ya.
See ya.
Good night.
Good night.